Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pamela Mutine, and this is Point of View. We're going to be doing this until 10. Obviously, being a Thursday, just after 9 o'clock, Sheldon will be here and Leroy Mark will also be here for What to Watch. But we begin with what we have promised you, an entire conversation, a full hour, with the Premier of Gauteng. We are calling it our State of the Premier's province, and he's in studio with us. So this is a very good time for you to call in 086 000 00959. Also a very good time for you to send in those voice notes on 063 688 0959 for any questions. Already I saw hundreds of your questions coming through on X and many other platforms. You certainly want to engage the Premier, so he's here in studio. Premier, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for hosting us. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you for coming through. Yeah. Premier, you've just been at the local government summit this afternoon. Yeah. Day two is concluded. How did you find it? And did you find that those turnaround strategies from the mayors were adequate?
To be quite frank, it's a combination of two things. One, we have to plan for the future. Reality is that we're going to have electric cars in our province, and we need to prepare for that. Secondly, we need to ensure that we create a new economy for our province. We can't rely on the boundaries of our economy. So you need our municipalities to plan ahead, to put the infrastructure that will expand the economy of Gauteng. We are of the view that an area, for example, like Harrismith, we are of the view that it's strategically located and it can propel the economy of Gauteng. If you look at Harrismith, it's 300 kilometers away from Durban, 300 kilometers away from Bloemfontein, 300 kilometers away from Gauteng, 300 kilometers from Mpumalanga. And we have a new economy called e-commerce, where logistics play a critical role. So instead of concentrating on just putting things in Gauteng where we are, we really believe we can take advantage of that, put new industries there, and grow, make it to grow towards Gauteng. You also have something that is very big in terms of energy called Sasolburg. Sasolburg might be in Free State. It will never grow towards Bloemfontein. You need to grow towards Gauteng, in particular your Vereeniging, Van der Bijl Park, so that you ignite the economy of Vereeniging, Van der Bijl Park. So we are looking at new infrastructure like new roads and putting up. You look at Rustenburg. Rustenburg might be northwest, but reality that it can grow towards or areas like Randfontein, Carletonville, Krugersdorp, they can take advantage of the growth of. So we're planning things like that. You take Limpopo. Limpopo and Gauteng, the economy are intertwined. Tomorrow evening, look at the people that are going to Limpopo and look at the people that are coming here. So we are putting up a speed train for that area. So we're putting municipalities to say, hey, we have to create jobs, we have to create new infrastructure, we have to create. So we set for 2 days to plan and strategize. But you don't do that if you still have Johannesburg City that is collapsing. Mm-hmm. You don't do that if you have Germiston that is collapsing. So we also took stock of which CBDs can we really uplift. So we've accepted that Germiston, Kempton Park, and Johannesburg CBD for now. We need to revitalize them and then invest. And so we are starting with Johannesburg CBD. We are putting out a 24-hour security plan where all our law enforcement agencies for 24 hours, 7 days a week, they will be camping in the Johannesburg CBD while we are upgrading that. But the second part is that you must get the basics right. You can have all these long, big plans. If our province is dirty, if there's no water, there's no electricity, we've got more informal settlement, our community walls are collapsing, our grave sites are not maintained, and we grew in Dusty Street and our children are about to grow up in Dusty Street again. It does not make sense. So we're putting up a plan, therefore, to get the basics right, to ensure that the basics are in place. And we've passed some good resolution. And there's a resolution that I love, Pimelo. Mm-hmm. I hope all women in our province will appreciate that. So from next year, we want every new plan to build a mall, to build a petrol station, public amenities. We really believe We are tired to see our women queuing in bathrooms of women because there are fewer and other when bathrooms of men are empty. So we're expanding that as well. It's going to be compulsory to add more space in bathrooms of women in our province so that each and every person that is building a new mall or is building a new petrol station, we have uniformity in the entire province. And the second one, obviously, is the other issue of transport. We really believe that we need to put up public transport. So there's some form of public transport that we want to link four ways with Sentin, with Midrand, with Centurion, the Main Lane, and then go back to airport and then come back through Johannesburg and then Rosebank back to Sentin. So that is our small form of transport that we need. But also we're planning for big events. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chris Brown is coming here. You don't want when Chris Brown is here, if he continues to come, I've seen some protests. All phones are not working when we're inside the stadium. Does not make sense. Phones are jamming and all other things. So upgrading those things. We're also putting up public transport to events because we know there will be big events come Chiefs and Sundowns there. We can't have people stuck in parking and all other things. So we met as local government to plan about all those things to ensure that our province can be a bigger province, better province as we move to the next 5 years.
Your role primarily is an oversight role to these municipalities, which are struggling, as you know. One of the things that you know has been a challenge in the city of Johannesburg in particular is the management of town planning being a big issue that impacts on absolutely everyone, education, infrastructure, and evidence points to the fact that there could be corruption there. You have town planners and developers who are building on places and spaces that are not meant to be habitable, which causes massive problems and ongoing long-term massive problems. So you have, as you know, some of these mini townships that have sprung up with no schools because the developer didn't stick to their word in accommodating a community and building a school. And then you then have an influx of children going to one particular area and all the problems that you know, having been an MEC of education. You need to start with dealing with those kinds of corruptions. And what are we going to do and how are we going to see and when are we going to see that kind of action?
It's smart city. You digitalize everything. Remove the human element because that has been our weakness, where the human element is duplicating everything. Let me give you one example of licenses that we give to taxi drivers. Mm-hmm. You find a taxi, four taxis or five taxis are operating with one license. Mm-hmm. Or you find a car that belongs to you, Pimelo, but the same car is being driven somewhere in East London. Same car, the same number plate and other thing. You find that a site is sold to you and it's also sold to another person. So in this summit, we then agreed that we must digitalize everything so that you know, just using your phone, when you see an empty land, it will tell you the future plans of that empty land, whether it's a school, a shopping complex, another thing. So as soon as we receive an application from whoever that want have an interest there, we can then put it in the public space and people can then be in a position to access that. That's how smart cities work. So that when we have, I mean, we are losing traffic lights like nobody's business. You know, traffic lights get broken down, stolen, and all other things. It can't be business as usual. So we went deeper to think on how best we convert all our areas to be smart city, but eliminate the element of human touch because that's the element that is giving us the problems that you see. But also future infrastructure, future thing, we're going to be influenced by what you call public amenities. I mean, we've got fewer schools than we need. We've got fewer clinics than we need, fewer hospitals that we need. And all those particular things. So our approach, therefore, is to say which areas can we go on a public-private partnership to say we don't have money now as government to build a school, say, in the south. Mm-hmm. Who's willing to build it for us? And we can rent it for the next 25 years. And after 25 years, we take it over. Mm-hmm. There are people that are willing to enter into those form of partnership. So we are bringing that creativity and many other things that we believe will make sure that local government functions. But local government is losing revenue, and the biggest revenue that we are losing it's on electricity.
Mm-hmm.
People have gone through solar. Big malls have now decided to be off the grid. Many houses are off the grid. So we need to be creative to say the future revenue of municipalities, where it comes from where we are,
mm-hmm.
the future is electric cars. We'll have electric cars. So these municipalities have to start to put infrastructure for electric cars, like charging stations and all other related matters. So we spent 2 days looking at everything. I know people say these are talk shows, this other thing, but if you can't plan, there is no way that you can then change the things that you want to change in our province.
So, Premier, going forward, the plans may be, as you said, digital, may be great. How about holding those accountable who transgressed? Those developers that came in, took people's monies and left and didn't do what they were supposed to do before we ask other people to help us, which would be great.
Yeah.
You've got a Protea Glen, which is sinking.
Yeah.
That was a developer that paid somebody. And here we have a whole community that every year when, you know, it floods and you have to now deal with that.
I always argue that if you can't enforce law enforcement that is strong, brave and capable, forget about it. If you can't fight corruption head on, forget of developing any city. If you can't fight vandalism, if you can't enforce bylaws, those are the basics that I'm talking about. That if we don't get those things right, you'll have developers that takes people money and they feel that they can drag us for years and leave us in the state that we're in. And I can quote many areas where developers just abandoned us. But we want to strengthen law enforcement agencies. What we did in the last 2 months, we met with the Minister of Police. The Minister of Police, let's not compete. Let's bring all our resources under one basket and appoint people that can police certain strategic areas. I don't want to mention them, but I know the police haunt me as well. Say, Lisuf, the problem with you is that you announce plans that we are ready and you alert those that we want to stop. So we're appointing pretty guys. So what we're doing now, the statistics that the Minister of Police releases, if it's in Protea Glen, there is this problem of developers, there's this problem of sponsor shop, there's this problem of this.
Mm.
Then we appoint somebody senior and we then deposit them in that area until they get that problem solved. We've started with gangsterism in Eldorado Park and other things. Today the police gave a feedback because we camped there. And we've managed to reduce that particular problem. Now we are going to Juku Lane in Tshwane.
You must call me to come with you.
Yes, to sort out the problem of Juku Lane. So we're bringing
There's
all the...
There's a toll gate, Premier, at Juku Lane. There is a toll gate. I mean, how?
So, but we are now focusing on Juku Lane. We'll flush it out and then go to Oliven and many other areas. I mean, we know, for example, in Gauteng, if your car is stolen, if it's not in First Loras, it's in Alexander or Tembisa. We know that. So we need to put the necessary systems around all the roads that will lead to Tembisa, First Loras, or Eldorado Park, because that's where the cars that are stolen. And that is why we also, when we invest in digital work, we are now, and I know people of Gauteng will say, not again. We have to change our number plates of all the vehicles in Gauteng. Because when criminals do all the things, they just remove the number plate and put a false one. So you must put something that is digital, something that can't be removed, and something, even if you have removed the number plate, we will be in a position to identify the car. So those are the kind of things that we are putting to fight corruption and crime in our province.
Premier, we've got calls coming through. Vusi is calling from Mapetla. Vusi, good evening and welcome.
Thanks for this great opportunity.
Thank you, my brother. Go ahead. The Premier is listening.
Yeah, Premier, we've got an organization, it's a non-profit company that was established in 2017 when there was no policy certainty in terms of transformation and inclusion of our black township, marginalized automotive entrepreneurs. But we are happy today that in Gauteng province, with the Sixth Administration, we got the Act the TIDA Act, Township Economic Development Act. That was far-sighted. Yeah. So now, when you talk about the new energy vehicle economy, TAXA, our organization, it's at the center of making sure that we develop our own township new energy vehicle economy. We've already got partnership with the Southwest Gauteng TVET College, whereby we've identified a cohort of over 500 TVET graduates who are unemployed, but who have gone through the system and are sitting at home with automotive training. We've got the private sector, we've got a stakeholder already organized with the leading government institutions like DTI and all the other organizations that are working in the automotive, NAMSA, AITF. So now, what is missing in the whole link is AIDC. We would like you to help us, because we've been trying to knock on the door that they must become part of the value chain, that I mean the ecosystem that we're building, and then we've been getting some resistance. Right now, we are ready, because even the private sector, in terms of putting the infrastructure for the charging system, we've got the leading companies who are willing to train and equip, upskill these students to be the ones who will be part of becoming entrepreneurs in this industry.
Thanks, Vusi. Just Premier?
Yeah, Mafosana is doing good. I think if we can ask Mafosana to leave his details with your production team,
we'll get to
we'll definitely link him up with our team.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Tabo is in Kagiso. Tabo, good evening and welcome.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling, Tabo.
Tabo, I do medicine. I want to do medicine.
What's that?
Okay, next time,
Tabo,
It's on the one. Hey, di mala ntate lega.
Ke tlo ba sharp one day wena.
Ah, no no, ha sha pitla na.
Hey Thata.
Firstly, ke rata ho I'd like to appreciate the opportunity ya ho bua le wena.
Sure.
Re le ba platform o spemela o re create la nyona. Premier, it's an honor really to have you as a premier. And the future looks much more brighter with the kind of ideas that you're currently sharing on this platform. In the future that you're putting on the table for us that you want to attain, none of that. Above everything else that you've said, there are also certain issues internally, you know. The experience before and I think no suka but there are hospitals ago valley mode. Kanaka COVID.
Yeah.
And then I think you've probably been made aware Kayona if you know originally subcontractors so can depart. And we've been following up this matter now for over 3 years, I think. And the main contractor, Hasor Batali, and then with the opportunity to now under Malawi, who we don't get government there or now, 30% must be issued to SMEs that area. So I think that law on itself protects us and ensures Hori Hari Tamusibiji Rapatal. We actually build that hospital catchment there on. The main contractor didn't spend any money. He didn't give us anything up front. We're the one that spent our own money in building that hospital up until contract the effect.
It's not on my Is it private or government?
It's government, Kopanong Hospital.
Oh, Kopanong Hospital. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. No, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we are businesses that are owned by persons with disabilities. Women are also part of that. And we're trying, you know, to make a living on our own and also create employment. But that's a really much like government, every vote thing. What happened to our children, you know? We're not asking for the government to give us any money. We've used our own money to contribute value. Kana ko ine le thata ya COVID.
Yeah.
And but then saying at least then since now contract ila project ila stopped because of issues that did day. But then Renza Musebi and the guy was paid. And Ratseba Hore unani chelte tse nsebe wan tse reserve wan kore muto a rauna lit issues to kono address issues. We then saying kachin tse kopanere fen chelte tse terunare disability. Then said the invoice The whole process was taken, was put on table, but long hurry, we were asked to submit the invoice of the work that we've done. We did all of that. And nothing has been done. But nothing is happening.
Is there an update from the SIU on this case?
Yeah, there is. But unfortunately, I can't share it, but there is. There is a process to recoup the resources, but it's also there's a process of chasing some evidence, some witnesses, to provide additional information so that they can conclude this report. But there is progress. But the area in which is Tawe's asking, because indeed we hold some resources for this kind of activity. So I'll check with the team whether those that are investigating this matter can give us the go ahead to release some resources. So I'm glad that we've got.
How do we move forward? I mean, he's probably one of many. How do they get in touch? What do we
I've
do
asked
going
the team,
forward?
Yeah. My team in the office, they're listening to the show. So.
Yes.
Maybe we might need to take Tao's contact details.
Because I'd like us to find a way that they can get in touch with somebody and in the office.
The name is Caesar.
As many as they are to see if there's a way forward. Maybe there's you can set up a little committee.
A call center.
Yeah. All right.
The name is Caesar. Maybe let's put up the number.
We'll do that as soon as we get back. Let's take a quick break and we'll take more of your calls when we get back. We continue our conversation with the Premier of Gauteng, Premier Banyaza Lusufi, who has afforded us some time to deal with matters of the province. Tebello has been very patient calling us from Midrand. Tebello, good evening and welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for your patience, Tebello.
Two questions for the Premier. One that's very close to my heart is the question around radiation machines in the province. My understanding is only one radiation machine. I had my late cousin. She was waiting to get radiation, and she passed on not receiving it. Her mom, my aunt, got an SMS 2 months after she had passed on for her to come for radiation. So what is the plan around getting more radiation machines in government hospitals? And then my second question for the Premier is there a plan to upgrade our police stations in the province? Our police stations still feel like we're walking into 1991 and they have not been upgraded for, I don't know, for more than 20 years. So is there a plan around upgrading the police infrastructure and just around radiation machines in our oncology departments and hospitals? Thank you. I'll listen on the radio.
Thanks, Tebello. Premier?
Yeah, Tebello, I'm sorry about the sad news about your family member. I'm really sorry. What happened is that we had a contract that was advertised for this purpose. Unfortunately, it was interdicted, or there's people that went to court to raise objections, and it delayed many things. You don't have one machine. It's an area that we have now partnered with the private sector, where we really believe that we can clear this backlog as soon as possible and start the contract that had challenges. You know, the problem with public procurement is that everyone has the right to declare disputes and other things, and it delays us in dealing with this matter. But I know both the MEC and the HOD responsible for health, I indicated to them to settle the issues with the NGOs that had challenges, and they've given me a report that this matter has been attended. But we had many experts that came into our assistance, into our rescue to resolve this problem. That's why I'm certain that even after 2 months, a family member passed on, we still sent SMSs to indicate that they must come for radiation. But
Premier, is this the same contract that was not spent, the 500 million was not spent?
Yeah, that's the one that where the delay, because we couldn't spend it when there is a court matter. Will be.
But there was money spent on assessments.
Well, it's a complicated account. Maybe it's because I'm not in the health space.
Sure.
I might not have the know-how. My view, and I said to the team, while you are still sorting your differences with whoever that is having it, let's get those that have the expertise in the private sector to assist us in the interim, because this is gambling with people's lives, literally. You can't say, I have this problem, and therefore we are not in a position to assist. But where I am now, I know the last report I got was around the 5th September. The backlog has been really attended to. It's not all the people that are on the waiting list, but they've been working around this issue. I might not have the exact wording and way of attending to it, but I know there's progress in attending to this particular matter. Even the money that is not spent, we've requested Treasury not to take it, so that we can be in a position to assist with the private. There are some private hospitals that say, utilize our facilities at an X amount of money. And the team was working with those institutions. In terms of police station, unfortunately, they're not within our preview. It's national ministry. We just entered an agreement with the national minister of police. There are some strategic police stations that we've identified. The police stations that are within the top 30 of national police stations that have problems. We really believe that they need to be revamped, but also there are areas where there are no police stations. For example, area like Guatemala and many other areas, they've been raising concerns about their police stations, and we really believe the new form of police stations that is capable to accept any form of reporting as quickly as possible. So it's right that they look like old police station. So we need to find a way of upgrading them. But the Minister of Police is responsible for that task. We have identified 8 or so police stations for strategic purposes that we can utilize as a province. And we really believe this will assist us, including, I mean, there were areas that were used for e-tolls. You know, when you go to some petrol stations, you'll see where we're buying e-toll gadgets or whatever. So we are trying to check whether we can convert them into proper police stations or law enforcement agencies' offices for people to report cases.
Earlier, you spoke about the expansions of our our infrastructure, roads. You spoke about Limpopo, Rustenburg, and the like. How are we going to at least finance all of this if we are struggling with what the JRA is warning, 80% of our roads and bridges right now are critical and are not stable?
Well, the good thing is that South Africa is loved by many countries. There are people who don't want us to fail. Today, I hosted the governor of a province in China called Guangzhou. They literally came with a bowel to say, we want to assist you. We want to assist you with the energy so that even if load shedding comes back, you are better off. We want to assist you with the issue of charges of car electric vehicles. We want to assist you in terms of big infrastructure that you want to develop. So the future is on partnership. Government alone is not going to assist us. But if you check the report on the bridges, I was really, I mean, I got that report for the first time almost a year or so when the MMC for Transport raised this particular concern. The only limitation is that the cross-funding between government departments is creating a serious problem. So we need some cooperative governance model to say, municipality X might not have money now. We have money in the province. Is it proper to assist them? By the time they have money, they can. So it's some internal bureaucracy that needs to be sorted out. But we can't live with bridges that are about to collapse. We have many disasters in our province, so we can't allow another disaster to hit us. So we are also trying to manage that with the city so that the city can either go in the private market, because at least local municipalities can borrow money And then we can see how best can we resolve the issue.
We've got Stanley in Hammanskraal. Stanley, good evening and welcome.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm good. I'm good. Welcome.
I'd like to speak to the Premier. I'm a person who's living with disability.
It doesn't get.
And we feel that more we are being undermined, like especially our government, like we've been invited to South African State Theatre. That was on the 5th, May, but we auditioned from Zanzibar. We went there, catch the arena, the grand. We went, and then we qualified for Riverkom Zanzibar. And then they called us when on Monday, but no. The workshop will start on Saturday, and we must get there. And then our councillor filled the letter, won everything. But in terms of R2, we can 5,000 transport or on Friday, Saturday, the Monday we will go into it. Other serious. Robotore, I want a budget for special cases like that. We need to go to the Department of Arts and Culture. That was on Tuesday. We are go still. They are not helping, but whole level like project here and get normal people. They were funded for fitatari. Because there no car give a gate man, but you call them because, and we are trying to be a member of society and as person along by we're totally blind, but we are doing things along with. We want to show that look. We are, even though we've got a disability, but we feel the same as you guys. But the way our government is treating us, here lom cancer and I believe more in our guys. If Alena Zaga, then don't go. You'll go again next year. Do you know Mzansi Fela? Yeah, South African State Theatre is one of the biggest events. Once you are invited there, it opens a lot of doors, especially if Renarna challenge a disability like this. And all we needed to tell Nerum Kupala Fior, can we get 5,000 for two kumbis? Or Rakonota Maria Ku? And they're like, Kekwale Kwa. And then it's not only that Yarena fail. Like we want more the tennis players, the little Bakunya Modi Wimbledon and stuff. Government or ever feature that they don't do that. Transport Nagel funding and if you are doing anything, sports, arts, and then you need help from the government and you have got a disability, it becomes a problem. It becomes a very serious okay. And Yarfe. You know, now it's our dream, it's gonna be shattered because
thank you, Stanley.
Stan, I'm a product of art. I believe in art. I really believe it's an economy that can create lots of jobs and opportunities. I marvel when I look at people who are excelling in this particular sector. So I will follow it up with the ward councillor. I don't know which ward is that and who's the ward councillor there. But in terms of transport to go to theatre, I'll ask you your details. I think we can arrange for our kumbis that are there to take you there and back. I don't think that is a problem, but I'm interested in sustainable intervention, not this one, so that we understand what kind of help you need to sustain yourself in that particular sector. I love poetry, I love acting, I love singing, dancing. So if you are keen there, I think our department at the province as well can determine what kind of support they can give it to you. But this one of going to rehearsal or to attend to that function, I think it can be sorted out. So we'll just need your details and the team can arrange the transport that we have as government.
Uhuru in North Mead, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, sir. Good evening to you, Premier. My name is Utelo Uhuru Shabangu. I'm 19 years of age. Premier, I'm asking your intervention. It is the second year this year that I'm not going to be writing exams. And this is because of a break-in that happened in my mom's house in Desley Park and the hijacking of that house as well as her car. Police are not helping in that they keep saying that the car will be returned to her and her house returned to her, but it's been now plus minus 5 years. We are living without a salary. My mom sustained an injury on duty and her employer isn't paying her unpaid benefits or her salaries. It's been 5 years now. We are living more than 5 years. We are living without a salary, sir. Can you please help us?
No, no, I'm interested in our school. We'll deal with other things. Why are you not writing exams?
Okay, so my mom doesn't have a salary to pay for school, to pay for even basic needs and food, as well as there seems to be an identity theft after the breaking in our house in Desley Park. There were identity copies that were stolen from her, and there seems to be some sort of a duplication, as well as traveling needs. We don't have a car. We don't have funds or means to get to school because my mom's car has been stolen. The police are saying that, no, they have the car. They want to get a tow truck to come and bring it, but it's been years, sir, and I'm 19 years of age.
The car and the house were sorted out. I'm worried about your education.
Where were you going to school, Uhuru?
We were going to school, and because that can be attended.
The last time I went to school was in Pinnacle College. It was a private school. Now there is a school that is nearby where we stay, because we had to go to a place of safety after the house was broken into. Mm-hmm. The school, the principal there had said to us that we have to pay a registration fee and that we have to get a letter from the Department of Education stating that we can't pay because it seems to be a semi-private, semi-public school.
What's the name of that school?
And
that public
area?
School?
Yeah, which area it is?
Okay, this is Lirend High School.
Okay.
It is in North Mead.
Okay. Right. No, the break-in and the car thing, we'll speak to the law enforcement agencies. I'll ask the provincial commissioner. Maybe if you can leave your details as well. But I'm very interested in your education. That's very key. Mm. We need to sort that out. And it does not need a car or any other thing. If we are going to give you support, all those things will be attended to. But we'll take your details and work around it.
Uhuru, let's just stay on the line. We'll get your details so that we can sort out and get you back in school. I think that's the most important and the most urgent. I'll take a quick break, Premier. We'll be back with more voice notes and more questions after this.
Greetings to everyone there. Mr. Premier, I just wanted to ask a question there on behalf of Green Armies. We report to work each and every day, but our main problem is that we're not getting paid. Last month, we didn't get paid. This month, we are not sure whether we're going to get paid or what, because of they tell us what the budget, what budget. So can you please clarify to us what's going on? Are we going to get paid for last month and this month?
Premier?
Yeah, it's something that we are attending because the contract was meant to be for 12 months. So we extended it purely because we know the importance of the work they are doing. So what we are doing now, we are trying to enter into a formal agreement with Pick It Up in Johannesburg. We want to clean Gauteng, so we want Pick It Up to assist us in cleaning Gauteng, and we utilize the Green Army. These are people that are cleaning our cities at night when there are no people or that are doing any other work. So I can assure them that we are working on a permanent solution, because the contract has expired and it created problems for us. So the arrangement that we're going to have with Pick It Up, it will ensure that there is a permanent solution and they do not have to wait to be unpaid. And we are fast-tracking that arrangement. Hopefully, it will be sorted out before the beginning of next month, so that we have a permanent solution. This thing of month-to-month problem is creating the challenges that the caller is putting up. And my sincere apologies that is bringing this unnecessary pain to you, but we are on top of it.
Premier Lilian Ngoyi Street, you had promised us, and I know that the city is busy with that, but you had oversight over that, and you promised us that things would be moving. We are told 19 million has been spent already, but not much has happened. How true is that, and how far are the constructions on that road?
This is a pain of intergovernment relations bureaucracy. As you said, we did oversight, we're willing to assist, and the municipality said, province, back off. We think we've got the talent and the capabilities to sort out the problem. We backed off because we don't want to impose ourselves. And it saddens me that the street is still closed, and it saddens me that things are not working out. But I've been briefed by the executive mayor and the team there that they now have a contractor that is going to sort out that problem. Hopefully, it will be sorted out. But as I said, it was a problem of intergovernment relations where people feel that we are entering their turf. We are not entering their turf. We are worried because that's a busy street. I mean, the shops that people work there and other things. And we have this long delay. It creates problems. But when the executive mayor briefed us that this matter is going to be attended, they've sorted out the differences they had with the contractor, and they've got money to finish this project, I felt that it's good news that we should give them the space to conclude it.
Let's go to Fortune. Is it Fortune in Ivory Park?
Yes.
Go ahead, Fortune. I'm good, thank you.
Hi, Fortune. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm going to be fine one day. How are you, Fortune?
I'm okay. I am Fortune from Ivory Park. I would like to ask you a few questions. Because I remember the last time you came to Ivory Park. Do you still remember?
I'm a citizen of Ivory Park. It's a good time, so I'm always there meeting various communities. Like a weekend, then I get it.
Okay, I remember the time you came and then you installed transformers almost every area. But this one transformer from 177.
What 77?
Up to today, it's still not on. It's not there. When you ask questions, they're not saying anything. They said you came and you left and then that's it. So I want to know that. What really happened about that transformer in Ivory Park, 177? I remember it's really not nice seeing the premier coming trying to fix things, but immediately when you go, everything goes back to normal as you expect.
A Fortune gave me an opportunity to check. I thought we fixed all the transformers in Ivory Park. There are four areas, I think it's around Tswelo Pele, where I know we still have problem of transformers. Yeah, what 77 actually? Come on, councillor. Maybe with the councillor's name.
Yoliso.
Yeah?
Yoliso.
It's Yoliso, it's not Marumo, ne?
Marumo is, I'm not sure the word, but Marumo was always with you.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'll check with Marumo this what 77. I'm really sorry. I'll report it to ESCOM as well. But I thought all that area, Marumo and everyone, we have fixed all the transformers there. But I've noted what 77, Nebrak.
On the subject of transformers, Premier M. Fulane, they've been unhappy with you. They're saying that you started the project 300, I think, transformers that you had already installed, but there were about 200 or so that were still to be installed, and they think you've stopped.
No, I've not stopped. Everton, it's not M. Fulane, it's Everton. Mm-hmm. We wanted to put the transformers there. They vandalized that system. So we have to start afresh to reticulate the area. We've applied for funding from Minister Energy, Minister Gwede Mantashe. We've also asked for ESCOM to get additional funding. We have to start afresh in Everton. And it pains me because they've been without electricity for the last 4 years. They're going for the fifth year. It's one area that is completely darkness. We have applied for that funding. We hopefully are going to get feedback. I've been lobbying the minister to fast track that request, and has agreed. We're meeting every Friday. We have sent a representative to give us update. But we are looking at alternatives. Either we can have a mini grid, which is solar in the interim. But it's the area of Everton, and it hurts me, it pains me, and I'm not going to stop. I've seen another political party mobilizing people to come to my office. That problem is deeper than transformers. So it's not like removing the transformers. We have to reticulate from afresh. People stole cables, they vandalized the substations. So it's a complete new thing that needs to happen.
So how are you going to sustain the new project? If you do the entire revamp, how are you going to make sure we don't have the same problem again?
And I'm proud that the one that we've done, we've never had problems because we put everyone on prepaid system now.
So the vandalism?
No. We've all the new transformers that we have, the reason why they're not either getting stolen or blowing up is because we've put a technology that assists us to regulate the number of people that are using it. But everyone that comes into the transformer that we put, you must be on prepaid, which remove illegal connection and many other things. So we've been succeeding. But with Everton, we're going to have a community meeting to explain to the community the time it will take to resolve it. It's one area that pains me. And we only realized when we have to put up the transformers that you can't switch them on because the underground system has been badly damaged and badly vandalized, and we need to reticulate afresh. But we're assisting the municipality, and we remain hopeful that it will be attended and be resolved. It's just that it's going to take long. I'm putting ourselves a period between 12 months to 18 months to get Everton back on the grid.
All right. Let's go to Becky in Soweto. Hello, Becky.
Good day, how are you?
I'm good, I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I'm very, very good. Evening, Kenya.
Hey, Tama Pegan.
Speaking to Becky, my opinion.
Hey, Tara.
Yeah, man, Prima, man, my concern, man, is I know this is not the right platform, but I saw an opportunity that can I use this opportunity?
Please, come put Sakaswalo, Sipek.
Yes. About our future, we go EPWP radically because
EPWP
from going to go EPWP radically. I actually respond from go.
Then I could, Becky, you know how just as you say from go, then we are cutting from go guy Abutwak.
From go EPWP. Yeah, the Green Army.
Oh, Green Army. Army.
Okay.
Yes, we are not getting any response from in our department. They are not even communicating with us. They are just leaving us very few of what they are doing.
All right.
And the number inquire about Corona, they're not telling us anything. Please, we are begging you to please just interfere.
Okay.
No more, you don't have to beg me. I've raised it, I've answered it, that we are attending to it. So we want a permanent solution. Remember, the contract expired and we're on a month-to-month contract. There's still a lot of work to clean the province. I really want to clean the province, especially Jackskay River. I think that river can be a beautiful river. If you can clean it and be a nice, because it comes clean, get dirty in Alexander. By the time it goes to the Crocodile River, it's clean again. So we just need to sort it out where it's getting dead. And the Green Army are going to assist us to sort out that problem. We want to clean Johannesburg CBD. So we have an intention to utilize our services to go and clean Johannesburg CBD, Germiston CBD, and Kempton Park. So there is, it's just that the paperwork to assist you to be having a permanent solution is the one that has been dragging. But the issue of the Green Army, there is future for you. There is responsibilities that wants to assign to you. Allow us to conclude on this paperwork as quickly as possible and sort it out so that there is a permanent solution. This thing of stop and go is not going to be sustainable. It's not going to assist us. But we are working around it. And I'm really sorry, Mapika. And I spoke earlier on, I think it was a voice note also on the same matter.
Premier Mafloza on X is asking about the dying children that we are seeing every single day after consuming what we believe is stock from spaza shops. He says, well, I think it's a lady, in fact. She says, ask how much the Pakistanis are giving you because it doesn't seem like you care about us South Africans. This is Flo on X.
Let's ignore the other part. I think the key part is that I personally visited the family. And we've lobbied national government because some of these things lies with national government. National government has responded. MEC Maile was deployed to go and meet with communities and meet with law enforcement agencies. We want the re-registration of all spaza shop. We want to start afresh. And within the registration form, they must tell us who they buy their food from, and we can be in a position to track those particular food, how they report on expired food, because we can be emotional and insult people like that message. But our view is that we need to start the re-registration processes. But we must also know, Pimer, which is very unfortunate, but it's because of the economic pressures of our people. Who allows these people to have this panda shop in the houses of our people? It's not government. There are people that allow these people to be and have this particular shop. So if you close them there, then we don't have a problem. But we know if you close them, those people will suffer because no one will come and pay rent. So we are training South Africans to take over this particular shop and provide the necessary funds. So we've got an integrated approach to resolve this matter. So we can remove the emotions and the insults. We know that we are attending to this particular matter. We have prioritized it. Even at the two-day summit that we had with all municipalities, we have agreed that we are now having inspectors that will, on a frequent basis, go in to inspect the food and ensure that we don't have this particular problem. But national government is taking over because it's a national threat. I mean, I'm told there were others today that also collapsed. So we need to attend to this matter as quickly as possible.
Mdluli is asking, when are you going to do a lifestyle audit on MEC of Education after allegations of corruption and bribery?
I've done that.
And have you released a report on that?
No, they're finalizing the. I'm saying I've started the lifestyle audit. So as soon as they conclude it, we'll release the report.
Tlompo is in Soweto. Tlompo, good evening and welcome.
Hi, Pamela, how are you?
I'm well. Go ahead, Tlompo.
Without electricity for 2 years.
Yeah?
You came. We've been without electricity for 2 years in Transfisher. Phase 3. He knows our transformer. He came in our area to switch on another transformer. He said he's coming back. Even today, we're still waiting. 2 full years now.
That can't be 2 years. Okay.
I'm telling you, it's 2 years, Banyaza.
No. I'm saying it can't be 2 years. I know that transformer.
No, yes.
It can't be 2 years.
We're connecting in that transformer, né? It's a 200-watt transformer, almost 100 houses.
Yes,
connect to that transformer.
That's the problem.
Can you imagine that transformer is being overloaded? Can you please just assist us? That's all we're asking for. Just electricity, in fact.
Thompo. It's because I've taken over this responsibility. And I know that transformer. The problem is that we need to have a split because that one transformer is overloaded. You need to have a mini sub of some sort that can accommodate that new access. But there's also an element of illegal connection in that sub. And it's creating the workload and hence the challenge that we have. I know it very, very well because the issues of transformers are very close to my heart. So it will be sorted out. So it might be 2 years before we intervene that we have been in darkness. But at least you know the one that was closer to you, we switch it on. So even yours is going to be on, my good brother. I can assure you.
That's all being so unveiled. You know all we're asking for?
Yeah.
For feedback. Simple. That's all. We're not asking for a lot. Feedback, fella. Even our counselor, we haven't seen that guy in a long time. Just for him to tell us, guys, this is where we are. This is the status. That's what we're asking for.
Point well made, my brother. Point well made.
Ephraim is in. Alex, Ephraim, good evening and welcome.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Go ahead, Ephraim.
Let me try to be fast. I see time is about to answer. That's the point.
Get over sharp, Wena.
Get ready, get ready. We have e-hailing in Gauteng, and we have the structure in e-hailing that is established by Gauteng Department of Transport. They spend money on the 2 days on 2022, 28, 29 of March or April, yeah, by the Gauteng Beachwood. Now, the structure is there. The office of the MEC of Gauteng, they don't want to recognize that structure. The money has been spent on that thing. Now, the e-hailing, they don't have a representative, as we speak in Gauteng. The problems are implemented every day, every week, every month in Gauteng regarding the e-hailing sector. That we are part of it. I'm part of the structure. So we asked the MEC of Gauteng to meet us. She never came to meet the e-hailing. Why? Can you ask that? I think you have our complaint from EBCO. Please respond to that as quick as possible because people are dying on the ground. And another thing, we have the issue that is happening in Swan. E-hailing has been, the bill has been signed. We're waiting for the MEC to come up with the regulation regarding those, if we get our permits or all those stuff. But they are not there. She's not doing anything, Mama Kidibon. And we respect her, we respect of your office. Can you please talk to her? The impoundment that is happening in Swan by TMPD and the GMPD, let them sort these things out. Because now there's a permit that they want, we don't have. The MEC is not doing anything with us to have the permit. What should we do? 50 cars have been impounded last week. This week, 50 cars again have been impounded. What should happen as a young entrepreneur in South Africa? We're trying our best with this e-hailing industry. What should we do, Mr. Banyaza? Please respond to our email that we sent to your office by EBCO. I'm one of the EBCO leadership. We're waiting for that, and it's been a long. This thing is gonna is giving us a problem. Drivers, they don't want to drive from Gauteng to Tshwane now. They are afraid of being impounded. 2,000, 3,000 that is needed. Some they want to 12,800. So what can we do, Mr. Panyas? We try our best to try and do something, not to stay. But now we have been bottlenecked by your department, especially on transport.
Yo, I get really cheated out, but get I attend. Now that we offer the Kitlawale MEC, Marake Kafi, I've never received that email, but I'll attend to it.
Mm-hmm. Premier, there are lots of people we can't take. Well, that means you need to come back more.
I will come back.
Yeah, because I think there are a lot of things people are happy to speak directly to you.
No, I can see that
there are a lot of issues, but we appreciate you coming and really thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having invited.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.